Don't these guys look good? If you don't know me by now, I talk about the military a lot for a couple reasons, because I was in the military, and so that kind of, you know, that helps a little bit. And because they look so good, and I've said before that seeing somebody in their military uniform just does my heart good, to see men and women standing up there in their country's uniform. It's a good thing. And these folks look good. This is something that you rarely see. You see all five branches there in that picture. But I'm not going to talk about them in their totality this morning. We're talking about their uniform. From their head down to their feet, they are squared away. There's not anything on that uniform that's out of place. It's almost perfect, even down to the shoes. Now, you would think that these shoes came out of the box like that, but they didn't. They actually came just regular boots. And in boot camp, you have to spend all day shining them sometimes. At least we did in the Navy. Probably the Air Force you didn't, because you didn't do much in the Air Force. But I'm sorry, whoever. Richard, is that you? I'm sorry. Had to put that in there. But, yeah, we had to spend a lot of time shining our boots. You know, in boot camp, you're taught is to really take pride in your uniform, to take pride in everything that you do, to take pride in serving your country. And so one day I decided, you know what, I'm going to shine my boots. I shine my boots and they look really well, and I spent the time doing it. And let me tell you something, it takes time. To get it to look like that, it takes time. And that boot, you're not going to get it like that the first time out of the box. It takes over, you know, 5, 6, 7 times. You keep shining it, then you can get it to that mirror shine that you see right there. That's a good thing. So one day I said, you know what? I'm going to shine them, and it looked good. But the next day I got lazy, and I said, I don't want to shine my shoes. I want to, you know, slack off a bit. I want to take a little time to write my wife, you know, and all that. I don't want to spend time shining boots. This process that they gave us was perfect. You put the wax on there, the polish on there, I mean. You know, get a little water, maybe a little spit shine. It was absolutely perfect. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to get away from the perfect and try to cheat the system and try to do something that wasn't going to work so well. So I used this thing. I used this shoe shine kit, and it basically is some wet sponge, and you put it on there. And let me tell you what my boots looked like afterwards, like that. I wore them for a day, and they looked just horrible. And I thought of my superiors in the military. Said, why would you put that little wet sponge on that boot when you had a perfect way to do it in the first place? You should have just left it alone and did it the way that we taught you to do it, because there was nothing wrong with the absolutely perfect way. It came out perfect, and the boots are gorgeous. But now you put this stuff on there, and look at them. They look bad. And I say this is a funny illustration about boots, but as Christians, as believers in God, we ought to believe that everything God gave us was absolutely perfect for its purpose. Amen? That's what we're going to talk about this next 3 weeks, trust and perfection. This morning we're going to talk about trust in the creation of man. I know you may look at yourself and say, I'm not perfect. I'm not talking about that in that manner. God made us for a specific reason, and we'll get into that here in just a moment. First, we'll start by looking at Genesis 2 and 7. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. He literally made us out of the dust. If you think about it, God could have made us out of anything, because he's God. He could have said, I'm going to make you out of tree leaves. I'm going to make you out of, you know, a tree trunk. I'm going to make you out of anything in the world. But he says, I'm going to make you out of the dust. Then you really put it in perspective. If you think about God and you think about everything that he is, how powerful he is, anything that he could have used anything, Christians, absolutely anything to make us. But he says, I'm going to make you out of the dust. Reminder of this, Matthew 19:26, and looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. When you think about the creation of man, he could have made us to look like anything. He could have made us to be anything. He could have made us with capes on our backs, and that would have just been what we are. He could have made us with 4 feet instead of having 2 feet, because that's what he would have wanted to do. But he made us the way that we are for a particular reason. But when you look at the creation there in Genesis 2 and 7, something's missing. As I study the scriptures, as I look at the scriptures and I learn, you know, one of the things I learned going through preaching school, you have to really learn what the scriptures don't say sometimes. You have to really look at it and say, what is it not saying? Something that the scripture doesn't say when it comes down to the creation is it didn't say that God created man and he gave them 10 fingers and 10 toes and they're supposed to be absolutely perfect. Have you ever wondered why God didn't say I gave him 10 fingers or 10 toes at that moment. He just says I created man and he moved on. Never said, you know, they're supposed to look like this. They need to be absolutely perfect. He just says I created man and then he moved on. Tell you something else that he didn't say. He didn't say that they need to look good. He didn't say that, you know, I created man, and man needs to be this perfect specimen, needs to be just, I'm telling you, when you look at man and woman, they need to be, woof, that's what they need, they just, wow. When you look at man, they need to be amazing. He didn't say that. He just simply said, I created man, and then he moved on to talking about something else. Why is that? Something else that he didn't say either. He didn't say, I created man, and this man was dark, and this man was light, and this man was this, and this man was that. He didn't say any of that. He just said, I created man. And as I was studying this, I was saying, well, man, that would have been the perfect place. When you look at God, we were going through our new convert class here on Wednesday nights, and I was explaining that God is very specific when he needs to be specific. When he wants to be specific, when he was laying out the law, when he was laying out the tabernacle, when he was laying out all the sacrifices, he was specific. So if he wanted to be specific and explain to us what man needed to look like, he would have just did it. And I wondered to myself, how come he wasn't specific like that? He didn't mention any of those things. The reason why he didn't mention that is because man has a purpose that is not physical. If we look at man and say, oh, well, man is supposed to be look like this and so on and so forth, we're missing the whole boat. We're not even really picking up what Christ is putting down. We're not understanding what God created us for in the first place. God did not put us here to look good. He put us here for a particular reason, and that's to bring glory and honor to him. Isaiah 43 and 7 says, everyone who is called by my name and whom I've created for my glory, whom I have formed from even, whom I have made. That second one there, whom I have created for my glory. He created us for a reason, and it wasn't for us to walk around and be proud of ourselves, to be these perfect specimens, to do any of that. He created us to bring glory and honor to him. Amen? And everything that we think about and everything that we do, everything, every time we walk around, every time we're in a situation where we're looking at the situation different than that, we need to go back to he created us to bring glory and honor to him. And that changes everything. And we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. How can we do that? By obeying his commandments. That's a big deal. We bring glory and honor to him by obeying his commandments, and that's something that we can do whether you got 10 fingers or 10 toes or 9 fingers and 10 toes. You don't have to be a perfect specimen to obey his commandments. You can do that just the way that you are. Amen? Look at this, John 14, 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll see all over the Bible, these are things that you can do. It doesn't matter how you look. Doesn't matter how I look. Thank goodness it's not. It doesn't matter how I look because I'd be in trouble. Some of you would be too, by the way. But seriously, it's all about us doing the things that we should be doing to bring glory to him. And that has absolutely nothing with the way that we look. We're perfect the way that we are to bring glory and honor to him. We are perfect the way that we are to obey his commandments. And I think all of us, we agree with that. We created to do good works. You don't have to be a perfect specimen in order to do good works for God. If you think about it, what do you need in this body that you're like, you know what? In order for me to do good works, I got to be just this big, strong man. I got to be this, you know, fast woman. I got to be the most attractive person in the world. You don't need any of that to do good works for God. If you want to go visit the brethren, all you got to do is have the right attitude to go visit the brethren. If you want to go, you know, to help somebody while they're sick, all you got to do is have the right attitude to help somebody while they're sick. You don't have to have any of these things that the world is putting emphasis on to go do that. In order to bring glory and honor to God, we just got to be who we are in the first place. We just got to be breathing. We got to have the will in us to go do what he's asked us to do. And that is completely separate and apart from having a perfect body on this earth. He created us perfect the first time. And if we believe that, then we could do a whole bunch of good. Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If you pay attention to it, you'll see this all over the Bible. Glorify the Father, glorify the Father, glorify him. And whatever you do, glorify him. This is really important. I really want to hammer home this morning that just the way you sit right now in these pews, you could obey the will of the Father. There's no changing you. There's no need to try to alter who you are. The only thing that needs to be messed with is the contents of your heart. Amen? And if we do that, we're perfectly equipped to go do what the God, what the Father has told us to do. When you see this book bag here, we say that in Georgia, book bag, backpack, as you say in the Northwest, you people. I tell you, when you look at it, I think of a kid going to school. When I think of somebody having all their supplies in there, I think about sending my kids off to school the first day, and they have everything in there. They have their Trapper Keeper. They don't have Trapper Keepers anymore, or you know, their little notebooks or whatever they have. I think about all of that. I think about they're equipped to go to school. And with the bodies that we have, God has thoroughly equipped us as well to do all the things that he's told us to do. We don't need to have any additions. We don't need to have any surgeries. We don't need to have any of those things. We don't need to alter anything. He's equipped us just the way that we are to do the things that he told us to do. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for teaching, repute, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. When you start to look at it from this perspective, you realize what a wonderful job God did in the first place. How he set all of this up, how he put all of this in motion, how perfect we are if we obey him, how perfect we are to do the things that he told us to do. And then you look at it from a perspective of, have I ever been given excuses? Have I ever, you know, looked at myself or looked at the situation and said, God, I want more. I wish I could be faster. I wish I could be smarter. I wish I could be this and I wish I could be that. And God's sitting back saying, you know what? I already made you perfect to obey me. Why would you change yourself to go to satisfy some of these earthly things? And we'll talk about that when you are just fine the way that you are to satisfy his will. And I know I've struggled with this. I know, you know, being selfish and looking at it from a perspective of now and what Buck wants and all of this. And I look at it like, man, I sure wish I could be taller. No, I've never said that. But I have said to myself, I wish I could be this. I wish I could be that. How come God didn't bless me with this? I wish that God would have blessed me with that. How many of us have said that they wish that their bodies were in a certain state, or they wish they were in a different condition than what they are? And then you look at it this way, and it's like, man, God did right to leave me just the way that I am because I'm perfect to obey his will. You don't need to change anything to go do what he told us to do. We should look at it like that always. We can also bring glory and honor to him by being prayerful. We talked about this morning in Bible class. And I'll say it in every lesson. Praying to God is a good thing. The more I pray to God, the more I set time aside to pray to God, the more I realize how much I depend on him. How much he provides everything. And so, do you need to be a good-looking person to pray to God? Do you need to be a person that is the fastest to pray to God? Do you need to be the smartest person in here to pray to God? No, you just need to be put on this earth and have the will and realize humility that I depend on God. And if you can do that, you are absolutely perfect the way that you are. John 9:31 says, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. See, there's that part, if he is, this conditional statement, if he does his will, if we are in Christ, indeed. Now, the folks that are out there may be perfectly equipped that are outside of Christ. If people have not obeyed God's will, they may be equipped to do things, you know, just with their bodies, but they're not doing it. If you obey Christ, you get all these spiritual blessings that we've talked about in Bible class all over the place. You get all these things. You get this. He hears your prayers. We are perfectly equipped to do everything that needs to be done if we obey him. And what a wonderful thing that is to be able to come in Christ and say, I am perfect to do what needs to be done. Are we perfect people? No. Let's just put that line in the sand right now. Does that mean that I'm saying anybody in here is perfect and is without sin and any of that? That's not what I'm saying at all. Because all of us struggle. All of us are going to have our problems. That's not going to stop. But are we able to bring glory and honor to the Father the way that we are? The answer to that question is absolutely yes. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being a perfect guy that's not going to sin at all, because we are going to sin. Another way we can do it is by fellowshipping with each other. Fellowshipping is a big deal. I didn't really put a lot of emphasis on this when I was really, really early in Christianity. But fellowshipping is a huge deal. Every time, me and my wife say this all the time, sometimes, you know, you'll have this event at church or you'll have this event with the brethren and you're like, you're sitting down and you're like, man, there's all these things going on, but you know what? I'm going to go. And when you get there, it's like, man, this was the best thing I could have ever done with my day. Sometimes you're sitting at home and you're like, I got all these things I got to move out of the way to go be with the brethren that I said I was going to do. But then once you go be with the brethren, it's like, man, I feel so much better that I was able to be around my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's a big deal because when we do that, we bring glory and honor to him. 1 John 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light as he is himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with one another is a huge deal. And I'm just saying, church, that we don't have to be good-looking folks. We don't have to be perfect people to fellowship with each other. We just need to obey Christ Jesus. And I think that we're all perfectly equipped to do that. Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn who enrolled in heaven, to the God, the judge of all, the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Thank you for reading that this morning. The righteous made perfect. Is God saying there that we're going to be perfect? No. Is he saying there that you're perfect, you know, the righteous made perfect? Is he saying that, you know what? I came down and I said it, so now you're perfect. You're going to do everything the right way. You're not going to have any sin. No, he's not saying that at all. But what he's saying is you're perfect in the role that you're in to do the things that I've asked you to do. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Just the way that you are, you're perfect. Why mess with perfection? You know, just like I was talking about my boots, why would you just mess with something that's already perfect? You know, you got to have the wrong priorities to mess with something that's perfect. You know, when I was messing with my boots like that, my priorities was wrong. If I would have been focusing on doing it the right way the first time, then I would have never pulled out a little wet sponge and tried to polish my boots. The problem was I had my priorities in other places, and so I didn't have time at that moment to shine my boots like I wanted to. I wanted to go do other things. But if I'd have kept my priorities the way they should have been, I would have realized that it's more value in doing it the right way that was already tested and proven than messing it up. And God and Jesus Christ and the Spirit has been tested and proven that they're there for us and they're going to do the right thing and they're not going to leave us. So why would we trust anything else outside of that? I'll give you a couple of reasons. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing outside of Christ. These people that are outside of Christ sometimes just don't realize. They may not understand that we have a purpose in Christ. We have a purpose in obeying the Father. We talk about this all the time. We're talking about evangelism. But in Christ, in this circle, I'm giving this from Chad, you know, this little circle that he draws. He uses it a lot, and I figured I'm going to pay, you know, a little tribute to Chad, you know, in the circle that he draws this morning. I love you, brother. But in Christ, we have a purpose. We talk about all these benefits, and you see him draw it all the time. But I'm going to say it again this morning. In Christ, we have a purpose, and we know that purpose. We don't have to wonder what that purpose is. We don't have to guess. We know what our purpose is in Christ. The folks that are outside of Christ are just out there wandering around aimlessly looking for whatever their purpose is. Have you noticed that people that are in the world, it's like they never are happy? It seems like you can find more. I was just looking at this documentary about this guy last night, and it was like he had all the money, all the fame, and all this stuff, and he was still saying, man, I'm looking how I can fulfill myself. I'm looking how I can do this and do that. And it's like, man, if you were in Christ, you wouldn't be looking for all this because you'd be focused on him. That's why people start to focus on their bodies and think that they're going to make themselves, you know, perfect outside of Christ. That's why people do that, because they lose focus on the purpose. They don't even know the purpose. They're always looking. You know what? Earthly glory is something that I was once caught up in. This earthly glory. This, I want to, you know, look like everybody else. I want to fit in with everybody. I want to, you know, be the type of guy that when you walk into a room, everybody just loves you. It's just this earthly glory. And if you look for that, then you're going to look at yourself and say, I'm inadequate. I'm not the way that I should be. if you look at it from that perspective. What I'm asking you this morning to turn it all the way around and focus on God and say, you know what? They're the ones who have the problem because they're not in Christ. They don't understand that their purpose is bigger than them. It's about bringing glory and honor to Him. It's about bringing glory and honor to the Father. So looking for earthly glory and for looking for all those things is just, it's just no good. It's not going to do us any good. What about this? You know, we got people on social media all the time taking pictures of themselves. They're out there. Don't laugh, Mike. They got people up there just always trying to look good, always trying to, you know, to be this person that they know full well that they're not. You know, I was reading, I'm very glad that when I was of dating age, that there was, I didn't have to do it online, right? I'm very glad that I didn't have to go out and find my wife online. That just, it scares me. And the reason why is because people are completely different online than what they really are. I mean, when you look at folks, when you look at profiles on Facebook, let me tell you something. Have you ever met somebody on Facebook that was struggling? That needed help as far as, you know, have you ever met somebody who was like, they're just going to bear all the truth and all that on Facebook? Number one, that wouldn't be wise. But what you see is the opposite. I see people that I know full well, who have, they're deceiving us. I'm like, man, is that your car that you're leaning on? Or is that the one that you pass in the parking lot? See, they're trying to add on to what they are. They're trying to do something. They're trying to make their image different than what it is and not realizing that we've already been made in the image of God. We've already done the things that He's already gave us, everything that we need to be successful in our walk. If we're out there trying to chase fame and to chase power and to chase all that, let me tell you something, we're always, always going to come up short. But if we focus on God, we'll realize that we are perfect and we should trust that. Amen? This one's funny. You know, this was meant to be funny, but I looked at it and I was like, I'm not so sure some celebrities don't kind of look like that. Because what they've done is they've changed their lips, they've changed their eyebrows, they've changed their jawline, they've had reconstructive surgery, and they've done all of these things to try to look better. And then my question that I ask is, where's the finish line on that? You know, if you do the lip surgery, what's next? How do you know that you've reached perfection? How do you know that you've gotten to a point that you can quit? How do you know that, you know what, I've done enough to my body and I don't need to do any more? How do you know any of those things? The reason why is because you don't. The goal is fake. You're never going to get there. They are never going to get there. But in Christ Jesus, we can say without a shadow of doubt, we are there. We've been made perfect. And the finish line is when I leave this earth, I'm going to go be with Him forever because He's made me perfect the way that I am. Amen? I'm just saying, just think about it from this perspective. When you're out there seeing folks, don't be out there thinking that I need to make myself better and look like these folks. Don't do it. You're fine just the way that you are. Here's the last example. People trying to live forever. We're going to have to leave here. I would hear folks say that all the time. You're going to have to leave here one day. And that is a true statement. We're not going to be here forever. So to think that we're going to, you know, make ourselves live forever, it's like the more and the closer you get to God, the more you realize I don't want to be here forever. I don't want to be here in this world forever. I want to go be home to be with Him. And the way that we are, the way that we've situated, the way the tools that He's given us, everything that we have, we've been made perfect. Some folks are influenced by the times, right? Some folks are influenced by looking at things on TV and looking at the way that society is pushing. We were talking about that in Bible class, as a matter of fact. Don't you just get the feeling that we're just being pushed a certain way in society? Don't you just get the feeling that we're just being, not even pushed anymore, shoved a certain way? And if you don't agree with it, and if you stand in the way of it, then you're just going to get rolled over. It's gotten to the point where you can't even openly talk about the way that God has been good to us, the way that he's blessed us, the way that he's made us perfect. You can't even talk about that. We are so influenced by the times, and I'm begging you, don't be influenced by the times and social media and all those things. Don't do it. Realize who we are and realize that we're fine just the way that we are. You see things on YouTube trending all the time. You see, YouTube is like this bottomless pit. You can be on there. You can start looking at videos about a ladder, and I've done it. Like, I've literally says, I want to go buy this ladder, and I want to see how it works. And 3 hours later, I'm looking at how do they make tricycles? Like, how'd you get to that? We have to be careful not to be caught up in all of those things that we see. I know I've said it a lot, but it's a reminder that I really want us. This is not about me standing up here saying it to you over and over again. It's about when we leave here, are we going to recognize the situations that we may be in, that we may be doing these things and not even realize it? I want us to think long and hard about it. Have we bought in? Are we, you know, without even realizing it, have we gotten to a point sometimes where we're looking outside of ourselves and grasping for something that we shouldn't be grasping for, when we should just be focusing on God and his word? And it's easy to do. I know I've said some things that may be funny, but I'm saying this with sincerity. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I know I sometimes have to catch myself and say, I should just be thankful for what God has given me. I should be thankful for the way that I am, because there's nothing that he told me in the Bible to do that I can't do right now. That I should be thankful for. And so when we leave here today, we should be looking at ourselves, not based off of what the world has out there. We should be looking at ourselves saying, God has made me just perfect. And like I said before, all these celebrities out there grasping for stuff. It seems like they're the most unhappiest people in the world. It seems like they're always reaching for something. If they buy this car, they got a bigger car that they want. If they buy this house, they got a bigger house that they want. If they get this surgery, it's a next surgery that they want. Let us understand that we are fine the way that we are, and we should only be reaching and aspiring to be closer to God, because the only thing that matters. We're not perfect for making folks out there happy. We're not perfect for looking good out there. We're not perfect for any of those things, but we are perfect for serving God. We are perfect for worshiping him in spirit and truth. We are perfect for loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are perfect for all of those things, but we are not even close, and we're never going to be perfect enough to fit in with that world out there. We should not even be concerned about it. We should turn our backs to it and focus on this, because this is the only thing that's going to give life. Amen? Earthly things will never last. If we focus on them, they are going to let us down every time. Earthly things are going to be gone before we know it. It's short-sighted. It's naive to think that we are going to invest to try to make ourselves be this certain way or fit in this certain way. If it's short-sighted and naive to think that those things are going to last and it's going to bring glory to him, he's just not going to do it. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, Jesus said it best, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal, for your treasure is, your heart will be also." We say that we love God, and I believe us. When I hear my brothers and sisters in Christ say they love God, I believe them. I love God. The point is, sometimes we can be tricked and confused. As I said many times before, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, "I want to be tricked." Nobody wakes up in the morning and say, "I am just begging to be confused today." Nobody does that. If we're going to be tricked, it's going to happen because something came your way that you didn't see coming. And before you know it, you're doing it and don't even realize that you're doing it. That's the true definition of it. If you see it coming, then you're not being tricked. And the Bible says we have to be on guard for these things. And these are one of the things that we have to be on guard for, not realizing that we are not here to look good. We are here to bring glory and honor to him. And we are thoroughly equipped to do just that. We've been made perfect. We've talked about that. We've been through this a lot. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I'm in the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me will live even if he dies. I know this is a physical application they were talking about then, but it's a spiritual application as well. Believe in him, we're going to be perfect forever. Even when we die on this earth, we're going to be with him forever. Don't overly concern ourselves with our bodies. Overly concerned. That's why I said the word overly. I'm not saying that we should just say, you know, we're forgetting and go eat 2 dozen donuts when we leave here just because today's Sunday. I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't overly concern ourselves with our bodies, because we have to understand that our bodies are here just so we can bring glory and honor to him. Don't overly concern ourselves with money. It's good to have money. It's good to be able to take care of our families and do the things that we need to do, but don't overly concern ourselves with it, because it's not going to do us any good. And lastly, don't overly concern ourselves with chasing fame. I'd even go a step further. Chasing fame is not something we should be doing at all. We should be chasing Christ Jesus, but we should not be chasing fame. Who else is qualified to carry out the mission that God told us to carry out? If you think about it from that perspective, who else is qualified? Who else on this earth is going to go there for baptizing all nations? Who else is going to do it? We're perfect for it. Nobody else is going to do it. If you look out there, do you think anybody that we see on TV and social media is going to go out there and spread the word of God? It's not happening. But we are. We don't have to change anything. All we have to do is be devoted to him, and we could go out there and complete the mission that he's told us. We said we want to be an evangelistic congregation here at Kent. I think that's the best thing in the world that we could do. But nobody's going to do it for us. And looking outside this Bible is definitely not going to get it done. The only thing that's going to get it done is realizing that God has equipped us to do it. And look at the things that he's equipped us with, and then we'll be successful. Looking to him and using the tools that he gave us. That'll work. I say to you this morning, be encouraged, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Be encouraged. When you think about all the things that are going out there in the world and all the hate and evil that are just spilling around, I tell you this morning to be encouraged and realize that you, the way that you are, is a good thing. God made you the way that you are for a reason. I want you to be encouraged in that. Take pride in that. Take pride in knowing that we obeyed the truth, and now I can understand I've unlocked these mysteries, and now I can go do what God told us to do. Be encouraged. You are thoroughly equipped to do it, and I know you can do it. God wants you to do it. We're perfect for the job. Don't mess with the thing that God has given us. Don't mess with yourself. Don't try to. Don't think that it's worth it. We're perfect for the job. Our bodies, just the way that they are, we're perfect. I hope that this lesson has been of benefit to you. If it hadn't been benefit to you, it's been benefit to me, because I need to hear it myself. You know, as I said to you before, and this is a serious thing that I'm saying, this is something that I've struggled with sometimes. I always want to be in a different position. I always want to look maybe a little bit different, or, you know, I've done all of that. And maybe, brothers and sisters, if you struggle with this, you can realize that you're fine the way that you are, and you can absolutely bring glory and honor to the Father just the way that you are, and everything will be just fine. If you're here today and you're a Christian, and you've kind of focused your attention on other things, you know, some of these things that we talked about this morning maybe hit home, then remember that you can ask for prayers of the church, and you can pray to God yourself, and a lot of these things can be remedied through earnest prayer and earnest trying to get closer to God. And if you're not a Christian, then leave that stuff alone. Leave the focus off of that and focus on something that is going to be eternally of benefit to you. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and